Have you ever had a great relationship turn bad? Were you walking on air last week and suddenly this week you can't get anything right? Maybe you're just crazy. Or maybe you've met a hijackal. They're the latest thing sucking joy out of our relationships. And relationship help doctor Roberta Shaler is here to hip us to their dirty, dirty tricks. I'm your host, Emma Brakan, and that's what we're talking about on Through the Eyes of Women right here and now on KHSU. Welcome to Through the Eyes of Women, a program about the lives and perspectives of women local, national, and international. There's a new villain in town. They say they love us, so why are we so confused and unhappy trying to make them happy? Is that what love is supposed to feel like? I think you know the answer to that one. And Dr. Roberta Shaler is here to teach us how to recognize and handle a hijackal. Hi, Dr. Shaler. Welcome to Through the Eyes of Women.
Thank you so much, Emma. It's a pleasure to be here.
We're glad to have you. On your website, you identify as a relationship help doctor. What is that?
Well, I am a relationship consultant and a professional mediator. And what I do is I have clients by video conferencing worldwide to help people move their relationships out of crisis.
So what kind of crises do we meet, and what are some of the ways we get out of them?
Well, some of us are going to meet, and most of us are going to meet, the regular hiccups and ups and downs of daily life, living together and creating relationships. My specialty is working with the ones who are having the difficulty that they may or may not see, but are absolutely miserable and feeling isolated and alone. And that puts the individual into crisis while their partner believes that everything is just fine.
That's pretty scary for everybody, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I hope it is.
So what is a hijackal?
Well, a hijackal is my trademark non-clinical term. I'll tell you why I developed it, Emma, before I tell you what it is. Many people go to the Google Goddess and they say, this is happening in my relationship. And the Google Goddess gives them a psychological diagnosis. And that's dangerous for us to be doing that. But all hijackals drink from the same pool of traits. So you don't need a diagnosis. You need to know what the traits and patterns and cycles are. Hijackals are people who hijack your relationship for their own purpose, while relentlessly scavenging it for power, status, and control.
And how does this manifest in our real day-to-day life? What kind of power and control are they seeking over us?
Well, in the beginning, what they want you to believe is you are just have met the absolute answer to prayer. You have just met your soulmate. They are chameleons. They will give you everything that you want to hear, do everything they possibly can in the shortest period of time to get you engaged in believing that they are the answer to all of your romance questions. And then slowly they begin to take control. So one of the things that you will notice about them is every conversation, they'll manipulate it, exploit it, or seduce you into having them win. They will be the person who ends up saying, I'm right. That's very important. Another thing you'll notice is they're constantly finding fault with you, usually when there is no fault with you, but because they have an intrinsic need to win, therefore you have to lose. Another thing that will put you into that category of thinking is that if you have someone with totally out of control, out of proportion, or mismanaged emotions, you know, you simply say, I didn't take the garbage out, and they go off like a Roman candle, and that's a frequent occurrence.
You provide, Dr. Shaler, what you call urgent care for couples in crisis. So how do you help these couples that are in a terrible situation, suffering? And they have probably already tried a few things to fix it before they called you.
Yes, and I hope most people have. But when you're in a situation that may engage a hijackal, that hijackal is going to go along to a professional with the intent of seducing the professional to see things from his or her side.
Of course.
Yes. And what happens, many of my clients tell me that they've been to several professionals And that exact thing happened. And what happens then for the non-hijackal is that they have a two-against-one situation where they get re-wounded instead of being finally seen and acknowledged for what is actually happening to them. So because of my expertise in having done this for so long, I have a really good hijackal meter. I can figure this out. And I work with people, as I said, all over the world, because this is a very common phenomenon, unfortunately.
So you have met hijackals among the people that you are counseling in your practice?
Oh, many, many, many of them. The more that I have specialized my practice, of course, and people find me through my website, they're saying, oh, I didn't know. And I have Facebook groups, secret and closed Facebook groups, where people can learn these things. And then all of a sudden their eyes are opened, Emma. They just, oh, I had no idea. I felt so isolated. I felt so alone. And by hearing these things or reading these things, I all of a sudden recognized the pattern. And now I can step back and say, oh my, how do I heal?
And I think one thing that you mentioned is probably a pretty big fear for people seeking couples counseling. That's that, you know, one partner is going to, as you say, seduce the therapist and get the therapist to see things exactly their way and go along with their vision for the relationship and the therapy. What does a steely-eyed professional like you do in that situation?
Well, it takes a steely eye to see this. So, you know, for many times I tell my clients, all right, don't blame those therapists. They don't have the experience of knowing what a hijackal behaves like or sounds like or looks like. They may not have ever encountered this before. They may have been subjected to one before, and therefore they get sucked into the dynamic. So what I can see is because I have been with these people so much. I was raised by hijackals, so I know what it looks like from the inside out. And therefore, I chose a hijackal or was chosen by a hijackal in my first marriage. That's the natural progression. And so learning that this has been normalized during your early years, these kinds of behaviors, you may well have had a hijackal at home if you find a hijackal partner, because this is part of your early experience. It's your unconscious understanding of how the world works. It's the way you expect people to relate to you. And so you don't really wake up to it until it gets something that really gets your attention and you're feeling really poorly. So I can see those things, because I've lived those things. And when I went through it, Emma, there was no one to help. And so I had to figure it all out. My doctorate's in psychology. I was caught up in the patterns. I didn't know it in my early life, and I had to figure it out. So I've been there, done that. I have the nasty video and the ugly T-shirt.
What, Dr. Shaler, is the harm that hijackals are doing to us in our lives? It sounds like they're a little unpleasant, a little selfish. What's the actual damage that's occurring?
Well, the damage is that they will rip all shreds of self-esteem from you. They will manipulate you into doing whatever they want you to do. They will take control of your finances and all your possessions because they have to win. They want control over everything. They will tell you things about yourself that are absolute lies, but keep control over you. And then they will do that in the workplace. I was speaking at the California HR conference a while back, and someone asked me, what happens to hijackals in the workplace? And I said, you know, hold on to your hat, because you're not going to like this answer. But they get promoted.
Oh, no.
Right? The person doesn't want them in their department, so they promote them laterally or vertically and get them out of their hair, and slowly, like a reverse pinball, they move up the organization. So they could have a lot of damage. And here's one of the things that everybody needs to understand. They paint a public portrait of perfection while treating you at home in a private and personal hell. So when you go to discuss this with a professional or even your best friend or your mother, and you say this is going on at home, your person that you have decided to confide in has no understanding of that because that's not the person they see. So they usually deny you that, and they say, oh, no, you must be mistaken. They're the salt of the earth. You know, they behave so bad. Oh, they do this in the community and all these things. You must have it wrong. And, you know, it goes this far, Emma. I had a psychologist on my radio show a while back, and I almost jumped through the microphone at him because he said, if you look at all the relationships that your partner has and they're all good and the one they have with you is the only bad one, then it's your fault. And that showed a complete lack of understanding of how hijackers maneuver.
Okay, jump through the microphone. Respond to that. If all their other relationships are good, you're the one with the problem. Jump through the microphone. Let's hear it.
Well, if you're with a hijackle, then that's exactly how it's going to look. You're going to be being downtrodden at a minimum, abused in many ways, verbally, emotionally, mentally, maybe physically, and certainly spiritually. And they have this beautiful face to the world. So their other relationships are all being manipulated in the positive, and your relationship is being ripped apart to the negative. And so, yes, your relationship with that partner is very poor, and no one will listen to you because of this phenomenon. And that's why I ran through the microphone and grabbed him by the throat.
And when you speak and write about hijackles, you have, it's an e-book series on hijackles. Is that correct, Dr. Shaler?
That's right. Mm-hmm. So easy access, immediate access.
And you seem to write about them in fairly general terms. And I had a theory, please tell me if I'm right, that that is to make it a little bit easier for us to recognize them in all corners of our lives. They're not just the romantic partner. They're not just the parent. They're not just the terrible, terrible supervisor at work. They can be any of these people, it seems.
They can be any of those people. Think of Bernie Madoff.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, think of anybody who has swindled people and had no conscience about it. Because hijackers have little to no empathy. So they don't care what they do to you. They care that they get what they want. So in any walk of life, you're going to find hijackers.
And it sounds like there's sort of a two barriers to dealing with it. It sounds like first we have to recognize them despite all the confusion that they're throwing in our face. And then we have to actually, after we've identified our hijackles, what do we do? Root them out? Do we move to another city? What do we do?
No, great question, Emma. First of all, you have to do your own work. So you're right. Number one is that you have to recognize this. You have to be able to lift your head high enough to read something that allows you to hear or see or understand that maybe I'm not the problem. And maybe I am enabling the problem and I don't even know it because I didn't know another way. So first of all, you do your own work. You find out what happened to you and what's going on within you that is finding this attractive, finding this acceptable in any way. Then you learn some strategies to try. There are three categories of hijackers that I have identified in my work. And we have to find out which one of those categories your partner is. So I help people do that when I'm working with them privately because some hijackers just simply only have one skill set because they acquired it when they were young from home and they're looking for another one. They're not happy either. They need another set. So they're kind of pseudo hijackers just by training. But what you have to do then is identify all this, learn who you are, what you want, what you value, learn some strategies for speaking up, learn some strategies for conflict management with hijackers, try them all out and see what happens. Particularly if you have children, Emma, there's an issue. And this is the issue. Your children are watching you and your relationship. Right from the time they're born, no language, anything. They're sensing what's going on. They're looking to you, the giants in their life, to show them how it's done. And so you have to take responsibility for what they're seeing. Now, if it is totally damaging, you may want to leave. However, here is the crux of why I have to work with people individually, because there is no one right answer. And that is this. Things don't often go well in court when you take a hijackal to court, because, of course, court is a snapshot, not a video. So they're going to look at this condition on one day, and they're going to make a decision. A hijackal is going to manipulate the court and the view of the court. So you have to be in court for a long time before finally these things show up. But the crux of the matter is that if you leave a hijackal, they will go after winning. So they will want child custody. They will want the money. They will want the house. They will want everything. And then you think, all right, when I'm in my home with the hijackal, with the children, I can see everything that's happening. I hear everything that's happening. I can do something about this with my newfound skills and understanding. If I separate, at least 50% of the time, they're going to be somewhere else where I don't know what's going on, and that leads to parental alienation. So it's a very individual way to find out whether or not leaving is a good next step.
You're listening to Through the Eyes of Women. I'm your host, Emma Brecon, and we're speaking to Dr. Roberta Shaler about hijackals. Those are the difficult people that we love. Dr. Shaler, we've been talking a lot about who these people, these hijackals are, and the corners of our lives that we might encounter them in. Do we have to terminate these relationships? Can we manage a hijackal?
You can manage yourself around a hijackal. You can't manage a hijackal. Their whole interest is in managing you. So that's not going to work very well. And as I said earlier, that's where it comes, where we have to make decisions that favor our own health and well-being, as well as the well-being of any children we might have in our relationship. So that's a question. And leaving is fraught with its own difficulties, and you have to gather your strength and empower yourself before you leave, unless there is physical or sexual abuse.
And how do we arm ourselves against the hijackal? I mean, this sounds like somebody who's been doing what they're doing for a while. They know some tricks. They know some techniques. They know how to present well. They know how to make us doubt ourselves. What are we supposed to do?
Well, first of all, you reduce your engagement. One of the things they love to get is a rise out of you. So you must learn to curtail that. To not engage them, not try and make them wrong, not get in their face. And that's a big step for many people, because you feel like you're fighting for your life, and therefore you speak up, which is a good thing to do in most cases. However, with a hijackal, that's high-level engagement, where it will just increase the amount of energy that the hijackal will take to put you down. So first of all, you need to be more circumspect. You need to be able to step back and see the patterns and traits. So you say, I can see what's going on here, and I'm not engaging. I choose to step back. Then you look at certain things where you need to reduce your level of interest, not only your level of engagement, but your level of interest. Many times a hijackal, most times actually, will choose a person who is willing to make themselves into a pretzel or a doormat in order to please them. And we as women are hardwired to nurture and nourish. And so we want to help. We think, if only I'm more compassionate, I'm kinder, I'm more patient, I just wait. I know that he is so damaged, he's been so hurt. So we rationalize and justify and make excuses for their bad behavior for a long time, thinking that we will be the one who can help, the one who can fix, the one who will be their savior, the person they will turn to, and they will be grateful to us in the end. No, when you're with a hijackal, the inverse is true. That's not going to happen. They're going, yay, I got her. I've got her nailed. She'll do anything. And you need to understand that. And don't get down on yourself about it, because you were groomed for this. You were very carefully groomed by a hijackal. And it's highly likely you had a hijackle at home when you were growing up that made you into what I call hijackle bait.
Do some of us just naturally attract hijackles?
Oh, yes, yes. And that's exactly my point, Emma, is that if you have come from a home like I came from, you don't know any different. So you are going to naturally think that people who behave towards you as your parents behave towards you, and this is not a conscious thought because it was instilled during your brain growth in your early years. It's comfortably uncomfortable, but it's familiar. So you move into a relationship that is similar. And always, as I said earlier, they're such chameleons that they make it look like nothing like you've ever seen. It seems that they are the best thing that happened to you ever, and they know how to do that. But then there is this undercurrent of similarity and familiarity, and you are then lulled into that. And then once they have you, and always remember, hijackers want to get the job accomplished as quickly as possible. So they will tell you on the first date, I know you're the one, I'm going to marry you. And they will rush to the altar or rush to move in or rush to get you pregnant. And then they have power over you.
Is that what we call love bombing?
It's exactly what we call that. And love bombing occurs another time. And that is every time you decide to leave and you really get up on your back legs and say no more, they will love bomb you again. And what happens there, Emma, is we get hooked on hope that that person, that chameleon that we first met, who thrilled us and took us off our feet, will return. And we're hooked on hope that that will happen. So the hijackle knows that, love bombs you, gives you everything you want, apologizes for everything, and then the cycle begins again. And you will always know that everything that the hijackle apologized for, he will deny. Because I know we're speaking from the woman's perspective here, the hijackle will deny that he ever apologized or ever said he made a mistake. And that's another hallmark of hijackles.
I've been wondering the differences between a hijackle and a good person who's just having a horrible day and behaving badly.
Oh, that's a simple one, and I'm glad you asked, because we're somebody's idea of a difficult person. Every one of us is at some point in our life. But what it is it's not sustained. It happened. You can see it has a direct cause. Maybe you're under stress. Maybe something's going terribly wrong, or you've had a loss or a big change in your life. But it is not a pattern that happens every day.
So we don't have to worry about how many breaks we're cutting somebody who's misbehaving. There's bad behavior and then there's bad behavior.
Well, if you see that this is happening on a cycle or it's happening frequently, it's happening to you, but it isn't happening to other people, then you have to get your hijackle radar out and say, uh-oh, just a minute, there's a problem here. But if it's an occasional thing, then you can have a little more latitude. And if you can solve the problem that was occasional and it doesn't recur, you're good.
Well, that's a relief. What was your impetus to start writing a series around hijackles instead of some other problem in our human relationships?
Well, I'm just writing my 17th book, Emma, so I've done a lot. But the last three books have been about hijackles and passive-aggressive people. And so let me just say something about passive-aggressive people. Passive-aggressive people are not all hijackles, but all hijackles are passive-aggressive. And it's very important to recognize that difference. It's very important to understand when people are behaving in passive-aggressive ways or when we ourselves are behaving in passive-aggressive ways. Because that is not an assertive way to go through life. And as women, we want to be assertive, not aggressive. And we need to see that difference and make sure that that's our path.
Do we need to live in fear of hijackles waiting for us around every corner?
I don't think we need to live in fear, Emma, but we do need to live in awareness. It's very important to understand these things. A, of course, to know if you happen to have been raised by or are in relationship with a hijackal, but B, to be able to spot one if one comes into your life. And the more that you engage yourself in reading and understanding or watching my videos on YouTube, the more you will begin to say, I did meet a hijackal, because we all have met a hijackal. There's no question that we all have met a hijackal.
Do you want to guess maybe at a percentage of the human population out there that might be hijackals?
I don't have to guess. I can give you statistics. And unfortunately, the statistics are growing. In the first decade of this century, we have some complete information there. And in diagnosed cases, now this is diagnosed, so imagine what the numbers are of non-diagnosed, because hijackals do not go for therapy on their own. They're not interested because they're already perfect and everything is someone else's fault. So to be diagnosed, that means they have to have gone to prison, gone to a hospital, seen someone on because they wanted their relationship to improve and therefore were diagnosed, or participated in the 730 evaluation for the court. So there was a 10% increase, suggesting that 11% of the population was engaged in behaving this way by 2011.
And what are we diagnosing specifically?
Those would be people who are sociopaths, narcissists, borderline psychopaths, avoidant personality disorders, histrionics. So they would be diagnosing personality disorders, and there is an increase in this. And so if those are the numbers that are diagnosed, then we need to know that every one of us knows one and has had one in our lives, because the numbers are much greater than that when you get to the undiagnosed.
I'm wondering, perhaps somebody out there listening today is beginning to recognize themselves as a possible hijackal, and perhaps they don't want to be one. Can a repentant hijackal change their ways?
Yes, because that would be wonderful if a hijackal actually thought that. And they would probably be in the court of the pseudo-hijackal who would recognize that, because most people who have very much all of the hijackal traits would hear what we're saying and say, no, that's other people. But yes, if someone truly was raised by a hijackal, doesn't have any other tools in their toolkit, and their relationships aren't working, and they want them to be working, and they want to have the three hallmarks of a healthy relationship that I talk about, which is equality, reciprocity, and mutuality. If you really want those three things, which are what you need to have a rich, deep, emotionally intimate relationship, yes, a person listening could say, I don't have any of those things, and maybe I'm the one who's pushing it all away. Let me get some help.
Well, thank you, Dr. Shaler. What's your takeaway for us? Do you have any words of wisdom for those of us who are really trying to live a nice, happy, hopefully hijackal-free life?
I think the most important thing I can leave people with is know your values, live in accordance with them. Ask yourself every day, did I live with my values and how could I do better tomorrow? Then learn the communication and conflict management strategies that will help you speak up and become that assertive woman who knows who she is, speaks up, and carefully sets and maintains boundaries.
Well, thank you, Dr. Shaler. Thanks for being with us today on Through the Eyes of Women.
My pleasure. Thank you, Emma.
You've been listening to Through the Eyes of Women. I've been your host, Emma Brecon, and I've been speaking with Dr. Roberta Shaler about hijackals and getting relationship help. For more information, you can visit forrelationshiphelp.com. Through the Eyes of Women is produced for KHSU, located at Humboldt State University. Thanks to today's engineer and editor, Katie Whiteside, and to our entire production team. You can listen to this show again anytime and through the Eyes of Women's permanent blog archives. Visit our blog at khsuwomen.com and join us again next Monday at 1:30 right here on KHSU.